The opinions expressed on Breaking News Bears are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Breaking News Bears podcast. I'm once again your host, Chris Capone, joined alongside my co-host, Evan Davis. Now, Evan, as the baseball regular season finally approaches, with technical regular season games beginning this week in Seoul, South Korea, there are still some questions regarding the award races this year. Now, Evan, I'm going to get the big one out of the way. Who is your pick to win the AL or NL MVPs this year?
Okay, so my AL MVP, I have Juan Soto, now a New York Yankee. Dark horse for AL MVP, because I want to do that as well. Bobby Witt Jr. I think if the Royals win the division, it's such a weak division that they're in, that if they win that division, I think Bobby Witt Jr. can have some serious case for AL MVP, just sign that massive contract. NL MVP, I went with Bryce Harper as my NL MVP. I think this is a guy who can bounce back. He looked good after returning from Tommy John, which is what we don't really see batters do Tommy John surgery, but he looked really good. I'm not gonna lie. This is a guy who I have a lot of confidence in. Dark horse for NL MVP. Polar Bear Alonso, Pete Alonso. This is a New York Mets team that struggled mightily last year. And I think if they could hover, in that, because they're not going to pass the Braves, but if they at least make it a close race within that division and Alonso gets back to hitting 40 home runs like we know he's capable of and getting 100 plus RBIs, dark horse for NL MVP.
Yeah, those are some good picks. Obviously, when I first, so for my AL MVP, I also chose Juan Soto, but I originally had Aaron Judge, but because of that hip injury and the lingering issues that he's having injury-wise, I had to scratch him out of my top three because I had Judge, Soto, and then for my dark horse, I have Julio Rodriguez as my AL MVP dark horse because I honestly think the Mariners are going to be better than people think they are. So I know that people
Yeah.
think they're going to be a playoff team this year, but I think they'll be even better than what they are. I think they could have genuine runnings to win the or
You
AL
think
West.
they, yeah, the AOS. I mean, also, again, a leaky division with the Houston Astros having those pitching woes that we talked about in the previous episode. But, and then your NL MVP.
Oh yeah, for my NL MVP, I had Ronald Acuña going. Just
Back to
winning
back.
it, yeah, winning it again because I think
Lame.
I know it was kind of a cop out.
Boo.
I really didn't want to give it to a Dodger. Looking at most of the NL MVP odds, it's like Acuña, two Dodgers, and or three Dodgers, and then it's like everybody else. So I was like, you know what? I think Acuña, but I honestly think Acuña can win it back to back. I know obviously he had the historic season this year. I think he could replicate that those kinds of numbers, and obviously the Braves are going to
Yeah.
have the wins to really show his value off. But for my dark horse, I had Fernando Tatis Jr. as the dark horse for the NL MVP, and I
Oh
see that you're
God.
dejected about it, but I honestly think
Oh.
that a bounce back year for Tatis is inevitable. I think he's gonna go back to showing that he was one of the stars, like one of the superstars in baseball before that, the tapeworm drug issue that he had.
And
But I
then the
honestly
motorcycle incident.
But I honestly think a bounce back and a major leap forward for him is inevitable. And I think this is the year that he could put him really himself in the runnings with a Padres team that is projected to be worse than they were this past year. But I think he has the ability to, really put himself in the running. I mean, if it wasn't Tatis, it was going to be another NL West team. It was going to be Corbin Carroll. I was going to pick Corbin Carroll as
You
my
know, I really like him too. He's honestly one of my favorite players to watch as well.
I think like Corbin Carroll can easily go 30 and 50 or 30 and like 80 stolen bases. I think if he
I don't
really
think
try,
80 stolen bases,
I
but
think he
like,
could.
I settle down here. Like Acuña barely got 70. Like I definitely think he can. I think Corbin Carroll could be a guy that hits 30 home runs and gets 100 RBIs, especially with the way that the Diamondbacks have restructured their roster. You talk about the Mariners. The one thing I was confused about was trading away Eugenio Suarez, and that's a guy who's absolutely going to eat at Chase Field with the low porch out in left field. I mean, that's a pull hitter that is going to hit a lot of home runs at home, especially.
Yeah. But I don't know. I could see Corbin Carroll stealing a lot more bases. I know he stole like 50 this past year. I think he
Something like
could.
that. Yeah, he's a threat on the
Yeah.
bases.
I think he could. I think with the amount of talent in the lineup, I think there will be ways for him to be on base and really move himself forward to get into scoring position easily.
That's fair. Okay.
So the next question I'm going to ask, what are your thoughts on who are potential Cy Young Award winners?
All right, so I'll start with the American League again. I have Corbin Burns as my AL Cy Young. I think this is a guy who kind of just needed a change of scenery. Like, his name's been thrown around in trade rumors for so long. The Brewers have consistently been underperforming as of late, and I just think going to a rejuvenated Orioles team that's fairly young is exactly what he needs. You know, in terms of dark horse, I look at a guy like Kevin Gausman, Toronto Blue Jays, to have a big year this year. We know what he has and what he's capable of. I mean, he probably has one of the nastiest splitters in the game. So that would be my dark horse to win it. And then for the NL, I did Spencer Strider. I think this is a guy who is just so due. I mean, his ERA was kind of inflated last year. It was weird how, like, he was so dominant against the top teams, but then against the teams like the Pirates, he sucked for whatever reason. We know what he's capable of. Dark horse for NL Cy Young. I have, if he stays healthy, Tyler Glasnow. We see what he's looked like in spring training for the Dodgers. He threw 5 1/3 no-hit innings against the Diamondbacks in his last start, slated to be the opening day starter in the Seoul series and for the Dodgers moving forward. And, you know, this is a guy that in interviews he said that he finally feels healthy. He said his shoulder the last few years, there would be times where it would just feel like a knife in his arm and he wasn't able to throw. But now that he says that he's finally fully recovered from the Tommy John surgery and from the injuries, this is a guy who's like, he's 6'7" and is just absolutely nasty. A fastball that's like in the 98, 99s. There are reports from Ken Rosenthal that the Dodgers have now added a two-seamer to his pitching regimen, which is the Dodgers always just add some stupid pitch that ends up becoming unhittable. They did the same with Ryan Brazier, and he turned into Mariano Rivera when he came over from the Red Sox. They added a two-seamer to his pitching chart, and it was one of the most unhittable pitches. So yeah, I kind of ranted for a little bit, but NL Cy Young, Spencer Strider, dark horse if he stays healthy, Tyler Glasnow.
Yeah, so I agree with the picks, but one of the ones I wanted to talk about for my AL Cy Young, I have Framber Valdez winning the AL Cy Young. Basically, the way I'm thinking of it is how he's going to be the only healthy rotation piece for the Astros this year, and he's going to look so much better by proxy with the replacements that the Astros have to put around him that it's going to prove that he's so invaluable to this team. Now, he almost hit 200 innings this past year and then went 200 innings the year before. He
So
obviously he can go the amount of innings, like the everybody wants to go 200 innings. That's just such a pretty number. He has the ability to last that long in games, and he has the talent to have lower ERAs. But if he starts off with a, because I know this past year he started off with a couple bad performances. If he has
yeah,
something
but
like
then he got
that,
back.
yeah. But I think he can honestly, because the Astros are going to win a lot of games, he's going to be in position to have a lot of wins. And I know pitcher wins aren't as important to Cy Young as they were like with in 2016.
But he'll still have a lot of quality starts, and that's an
Yeah.
important stat.
Yeah. I feel like he's going to be one of the pitchers that is just going to have the most like stereotypical Cy Young like work done, like 200 innings, a certain amount of pitching wins, a low ERA, and like 200 strikeouts.
You know what's funny is that, and I'm sorry for constantly interrupting, but the one thing that I thought was, you remember the year that Verlander won Cy Young, like in 2022?
Yeah.
Like, I wrote an article about my predictions, and I gave it to Framber Valdez that year because I honestly thought he was more deserving. And he's such an underrated pitcher, and it pains me that he's on the Houston Astros because I hate the Astros, but Valdez doesn't get like the media attention that he deserves. Like, this is a guy that's constantly a top five pitcher in the American League, and no one talks about him. So I
Yeah.
love that pick.
Yeah. My dark horse for the AL Cy Young was going to be Luis Castillo, also on the Mariners. There's a very Mariner-centric theme with my dark horses, but I think Luis Castillo is one of those guys that he hadn't gotten a Cy Young vote for the entirety of his career until last year, and I think that he can be definitely in the running. Last year he had a little bit of a down year compared to the year before, but Luis Castillo is nasty. Like his pitch selection is insanely good, and I think he has the stuff to actually, be up there and in contention for the Cy Young. I originally had Gosman, but his shoulder stuff, he said he might not start first two games or be in line for the first two starts. But yeah, so moving right along for my NL Cy Young, I caved in and I also went with Spencer Strider just because his strikeout numbers are going to be through the roof. Obviously, yeah, like what you previously talked about, the ERA gets blown up a little bit, which is weird, but he has the strikeout numbers that can clearly put him in the contention. Another one that I had was Zach Wheeler, because
Oh, yeah.
Zach Wheeler with that extension that he just signed, he's going to be feeling good going into the season, and he obviously is an insanely talented pitcher. But Zach Wheeler really has come into his own as I'm the best pitcher on this pitching staff.
Yeah, he definitely is. Like, I think another guy who's underrated and underappreciated just because of the fact he's usually the two to Aaron Nola. But this is a guy who's very, very clutch. We were just talking about Spencer Strider. I looked at his numbers from last year: 186 and two-thirds innings, 281 strikeouts, almost five walks. I'm sorry, five strikeouts per walks. Like, his K to walk ratio was 4.8. I mean, this is a guy who is unbelievable. Almost 300. He would have gotten to 300 strikeouts if he threw 200 innings.
Yeah, like Strider's insane, like his strikeout numbers. But yeah, it's just that weird inflated ERA. But I feel like this year he's gonna find a way to bring it back down to around like below three. So now we can finally move on to the rookie of the year. What are your picks for the AL and NL rookie of the year, Evan?
All right, so AL Rookie of the Year, I'll start off with that. I have Evan Carter from the Texas Rangers, my boy Evan. Stick together. The obvious pick is, Jackson Holliday, who has looked phenomenal in spring training, but I'd like to, pick someone else who isn't like a heavy favorite. And I know I said Juan Soto and Spencer Strider and, all these other guys. But I think with Rookie of the Year, it's honestly, I feel like that's the one spot that's not a guarantee. Like, Jackson Holliday can look phenomenal in spring, but it's a 162 game season. And the way that Evan Carter looked at the end of last year as the Rangers won the World Series, I have a lot of hope that, like, a full 162 under his belt, he can hit, maybe 20 home runs, get 60, 65 RBIs, and just be like a middle of the lineup threat for the Rangers. Dark horse, I might stick with the Rangers again and just go Wyatt Langford. This was a guy who was drafted fairly high. I think he was the fourth overall pick, if I'm not mistaken. But just uber talented. He flew up the minor league system. So the Texas Rangers have a lot to be hopeful of as they continue to contend. And I guess I'll go NL Rookie of the Year. This is the one Dodger I have on my full list. I did a Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I don't really need to explain much. It's a guy who's absolutely filthy. Got roughed up in his spring training starts, but that was more the defense just not playing to its standards rather than Yamamoto actually giving up those earned runs. But what I pay attention to is 14 strikeouts in 9 innings. His ghost ball looks insane. The splitter is phenomenal. It's not like he doesn't have a traditional fastball. It's like, the what's it called? Like, the rising fastball that he has that just fools hitters. And then dark horse for NL Rookie of the Year. Don't really know if it's much of a dark horse, but the NL just doesn't have a ton of young talent that's going to be starting at the major league level. And it's a Junior Caminero from the Milwaukee Brewers. He just got that 8-year deal with them, which is something we really don't see from a team like Milwaukee. But this is a guy who looks electric defensively. The bat looks good. And yeah, I mean, this is someone who it was a big contract, but this is a guy who definitely has the power and the skill to be NL Rookie of the Year.
Very similarly, for my AL Rookie of the Year, I also had Evan Carter, just because what he proved in the postseason this past year, like on that World Series run, he was really invaluable to the Texas Rangers lineup. Now, some people could attribute that to, he's from the minor leagues, people don't have as much of a scouting report on him, but I think he can transition what he took from last year's postseason run and convert that to this upcoming regular season. And I think the only reason I didn't pick Jackson Holliday is because he's going to get called up a little bit later in the year, like end of April, I think, is when they're thinking of, because most teams do that anyway with their young prospects. So I think the only thing that Evan Carter is going to have over him is the amount of games played up to the point. Because obviously, Jackson Holliday, if he were to play a full 162, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that he would be the AL Rookie of the Year. But I think the counting stats are going to be slightly in the favor of Evan Carter, even with slightly more games played, that he's going to be the player that eventually win AL Rookie of the Year. And then for my NL Rookie of the Year, I had also Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I think that's just
He finally took a Dodger.
that's the easiest pick. Like, he's such the clear odds-on favorite because just of how good he was internationally last year. There's three options and they're all from international. It's all Yoshinobu Yamamoto, it's Jung Ho Lee, and it's Shota Imanaga. Those are clearly the upper echelon of who's gonna win the NL Rookie of the Year, just because they already have experience. It's such an easy pick for anybody just to say, you know what, I think that these players who've played baseball much longer than these other kids will be able just to, steal a Rookie of the Year here or there. It could have happened last year too with Kodai Senga. I think he finished second in NL's Rookie of the Year.
I
I
know
could
he,
be wrong.
he fit, because who won NL Rookie? I know it was, Corbin Carroll won it, right? Corbin Carroll, Kodai Senga, and James Outman. And Carroll, Senga, Outman was the top, like, was that in order?
Obviously, coming from another league, it's a lot easier to transition to, especially for a pitcher. I feel like it's a lot easier to transition from another league coming over to MLB. So I think it's very clear that Yoshinobu should be the odds-on favorite, and he's just the easy pick.
Yeah, definitely agree with that.
Now, the last award we can talk about is Manager of the Year, and this one you can start off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not gonna go with Dave Roberts just because how do you not win with that roster? I would totally understand if he got close to zero votes with it. But my manager of the year is kind of like, I'll start with the American League just because I think it's gonna fall in line with just some of my beliefs going forward with this season. I think the Kansas City Royals manager, Matt Quatraro, he could definitely win it if the Royals, continue to succeed. I know the Baltimore Orioles manager, he won it last year, I believe it was. He
Yeah,
won
Brandon
manager of
Hyde,
the year last year. I think, you look at, I think Craig Counsell could win it with the Cubs if everything falls into place there, taking a roster who was hovering just a little bit above 500, but I definitely think this is a 90-win team when fully healthy and fully complete. It's kind of hard with some of these other teams. Maybe you get Bruce Bochy some looks with Texas, just seeing how he, finagles his way through all of these injuries. I mean, a lot of his starting pitching is hurt, so that's definitely something you can look at as well. And so those are my, I got two. I'll do one more, just so I have the top three. And then Scott Servais from the Seattle Mariners. I think that's kind of falling in line with what we believe as well, that if the Mariners somehow win this division, which they're very capable of doing with the roster, he could definitely get some looks as well. So those are my three for AL Manager of the Year. And then I'll hand it off to you.
So similarly for my AL Manager of the Year, I have multiple options. Like, it's hard to pick it's basically what you're picking for this is either who's the biggest surprise for the season or who is the the best team in the league, their respective league. So I picked Kevin Cash because I think the Rays are going to be much better than advertised. I know obviously losing Wander Franco because of his issues is a huge cut to them. Like they went from the best team in the in baseball last year to slowly falling and falling after losing Wander Franco. The Rays are going to bounce back. They're going to have their pitchers healthy because they lost Rasmussen and Jeffrey Springs really early in the year last year when they were starting, like when they had that 13 game winning streak to start the year, and then slowly started to peter off, and then the Dodgers took ahead for best team. I think the Rays will bounce back and really prove just how good of a manager Kevin Cash is, because he's been so consistent since being there. I think he will be one of the favorites to win it. Another one I had was just Aaron Boone. And I know New York media isn't a big fan of Aaron Boone, but they're going to end up winning a lot of games. And that'll be another choice. Just dealing with injuries, also not having Gerrit Cole for the first 2 months of the season, seeing how they build around that could also be a big factor in why they Aaron Boone would be one of the candidates. And then lastly, I also had Scott Servais for Seattle just because. And then obviously for moving over to the National League, I also had Craig Counsell for the Cubs, just because going over from the Brewers to the Cubs, it's like a rivalry thing, and then seeing how much better he can make the team just by managing better decision making than compared to David Ross. And then I guess for my NL West team though, I just also I copped out. I picked Dave Roberts just because I think they could be very close to, like, surpassing the win total, like, or
The
the win
all-time.
the all-time win record for a
It's like
season.
118 wins.
Yeah, I think if you're able to do that, you should just be given manager of the year, even though I know the immense amount of talent on the roster, but navigating through injuries, because no team ever stays healthy through a whole 162.
Yeah, well, even to your point, like Bueller's starting off, he probably won't start the season until May. Obviously,
Yeah.
Kershaw isn't returning until a later date. So they're going to have like Yamamoto, Glasnow, and then it's going to be, Miller, Sheehan starting off late. I'm trying to remember who else is in this. But yeah, you're okay. So yeah, Yamamoto, Glasnow, Miller, Paxton. And then usually, like what the Dodgers always do is they roll with like a backup plan. But I see them going six deep as well, just throwing out everyone. They still have Gavin Stone, who looked electric in spring. So no, I could definitely see it. Look, into your point, every team goes through injuries. So I for my manager of the year, I guess I'll take Dave Roberts as a cop out as well. I would go Torey Lovello as well from the Arizona Diamondbacks. I thought that's a guy that should have won it last year, but obviously they don't take into account
Playoff success.
postseason.
Yeah.
And Skip Schumacher, what he did with a Marlins team that we didn't really expect much from, especially when Alcantara got hurt. You thought they were kind of just going to take a nosedive, but Yuri Perez woke up. So great for him winning it.
So that'll just about do it for this episode of the Breaking News Bears podcast. I want to once again thank my co-host Evan Davis for all of his great predictions. Thank you once again for listening. We'll see you when we see you.